Baritone, I'm Cherry Terrifying, and you're listening to the Mondo Coolcast. Friends, since I've put together a show, so I'm gonna toss this together and toss it out. A couple of diehard true Mondo community members have been asking where I've been, and I will tell you. Mondo Coolcast. It's been quite a time since we've been together on these crazy old internets, my friends. And a lot of you have probably been asking questions. A couple of you were worried, and because I made an announcement that I'm not going to be doing the Mondo Coolcast for a while. Like, kind of just like a little thing on the Facebook. Demez, super fan that he is, actually clicked like on the Facebook and left a message for me saying, just checking in on where you've been. And, well, I've been around doing what I normally do. I just didn't want to do the podcast for a little while. Had to do a little sequence breaking, you know, just not do the same thing every week. Because I'm just one of those people that I'm mental, man. I can't do the exact same thing over and over, which... You know, saying that, man, I don't really do much different, so it's, I don't know, it's just one of those fucking things, man. People are fucking mental. I'm mental as fuck. That's all there is to it. This is a live broadcast, because I'm using my broadcasting program to put this together so I don't have to edit anything together. I was looking at Audacity, and it's like, man, it's been a long time since I've manually manipulated the intro and dropped the volume and added speech, and I was just like, man, fuck that. I'm not doing that. So this is technically being broadcast at 7:43 a.m., whatever the fuck the date is. I think it's November 5th. It's the day before Election Day. I hope those of you that are registered to vote will go out there and vote if that's what you want to do, or, you know, if you just don't give a shit and you don't feel like voting, I won't hate you. I'm probably going to go out there and vote. I'm only one of those assholes that only votes in presidential elections, and, you know, I don't. Man, politics, man, fuck, it's just a fucking joke, man. So I sort of just was getting frustrated with the podcast. Trying to do it live and coordinating people and getting the technology to work with, you know, zero funds and my internet's being a fucking dick gobbler, and just, you know, it was becoming a pain, and I was getting frustrated, and I wasn't enjoying it, so I just stopped doing it. And Halloween is, it's my time of year, man. I love the season, I love the fall, I lurk the streets. I mean, I do this, you know, all year round anyway, but oh man, I love just lurking the fucking streets late at night in October, you know, just running down the street, howling at the moon, waggling my dick at every bitch I see like a fucking lunatic. And it's, you know, man, it's that's who I am, right? So just been walking around late at night listening to podcasts. And here's an interesting story. I used to do this when I first got into shape. Sunday nights was trash night around this neighborhood. And I would get a couple of bags, throw on my headphones, and I'd walk around, and I would go through people's recycling bins and take their cans. And I was saving up a little bit of money to get a Game Boy Advance game that was coming out, because this was before I got my sweet job. And I started doing that again, because I'm getting back into shape. I'm trying to get my head right, you know. I've started reading again. I read a couple of books while I was away. It's been years since I've had time to sit down and read some novels, and I read a book, and it was awesome. I built a fire pit in my backyard, and some nights I just sit and look at the fucking sky and burn shit in my fire pit, and I just sit and enjoy it, and it's nice, it's lovely. It's been a really, really good time. Dug some of my books out of my closet. I'm gonna reread this sort of series of books by Robert Heinlein, who is my favorite author. Any of you that read leisurely, like, you know, for enjoyment, I strongly recommend picking up a Robert A. Heinlein novel and enjoying the worlds and characters that that dude puts together. Top-notch stuff. Never enjoyed reading as much as reading some Heinlein. Anyway, so I've been out and I've been gathering cans and the like a fucking hobo. But the way I look at it is, it gives me I'm doing three things at once. I'm out walking around, getting off my ass, and you know, it's not the same as running, but on my off days, I, you know, throw a couple of grocery bags in my pocket, and if I see some cans, I fucking take those motherfuckers. So I'm out and I'm walking around. Part of the challenge is, Jesus Christ, man, fucking people throw cans all over the goddamn place, but seeing them in the dark, man, and spotting them, and just find shit all over the place when you're looking for it. And you know, I listen to podcasts and music, so it's kind of a, it's pretty relaxing. It's pretty nice. So I've been accumulating this shit, and I know where all the beer drinkers are, because they always have a shitload of cans. And actually, tonight I was walking around doing that shit, because again, it's Monday morning, but I'm still up from Sunday night, because I keep spooky hours, because I'm a spooky individual. And this house around the corner, the recycling bin was all plastic, right? And there's like 7 gallon jugs of milk. What are these people doing with all that fucking? That's a lot of fucking milk. How many people do they have in that house? Just like chugs. I mean, I drink milk. It's delicious. Love that shit. I know some people don't like it. Some people can't because they get the shits. My ex-girlfriend, she gets the shits from the milk, lactose intolerant. And always coming over here and eating cereal. Fucking love cereal. And getting the goddamn shits. So there's the story about my ex-girlfriend for you. Now, so anyway, last week I'm walking around and I'm listening to this Penn Jillette podcast. Penn Jillette is the speaking half of the magician duo fucking Penn and Teller, right? He's got a podcast. Highly recommended listening. I think Penn Jillette is a very interesting person. I've always been a fan of Penn and Teller. I've got some of their books. I got one of the movies that Penn Jillette was instrumental in making, The Aristocrats, which is kind of a documentary about a filthy joke that comedians tell each other, and the whole goal is to be as filthy as you can. And you should check it out just to see Gilbert Gottfried's fucking take the Aristocrats. Ooh boy. Anyway, so I'm walking around, I'm listening to this podcast, and he's got George Takei on the show, and he's talking about the Japanese internment camps during World War II, and when he was a small child, he was put in a concentration camp in America. And Very, very interesting show. And I'm walking around and I'm like charting some new territory. I'm on this other side of town because I dropped some books off the library and, some Netflix DVD and shit, and I was driving back and I was like, oh, okay, so it's trash day over here too. So I'm going to go and scout out and see if I can find so many drunks that prefer their beer in cans and have a regular spot to go to get a shitload of fucking cans with minimal effort because I'm going to, use these proceeds to buy Zone of the Enders HD probably sometime soon. I've got some shit I'm gonna sell. I've got a couple of bucks squirreled away for this video game purpose, and combined with, I'll probably get like 15, 20 bucks for these cans I've been gathering the past few weeks, and go out and buy Zone of the Enders HD because it's only 40 bucks. So I'm gonna buy that motherfucking thing. So I'm in this new. I'm familiar with the area. It's not that far from my house, but I've never gone this way when collecting motherfucking cans, right? And I hear over my noise canceling headphones this blood curdling fucking shriek. And I mean, this wasn't like, ah, I'm startled. This is, I'm like, fuck. And I take my headphones off, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, this lady is really getting murdered or something. I'm thinking, fuck, should I call the cops? And I'm like, well, and tell them what? And then I heard a scream over yonder that could have been from anywhere. Fuck it. So put my headphones on and get my knife in my pocket, like ready to go full on stab and run mode if I need to. And every man carries a pocket knife. If you're a dude and you're not carrying a pocket knife, what the fuck are you doing? They come in handy all the goddamn time. And if you have to stab somebody, it's better than not having it, I guess. So anyway, I'm just like, well, I better be ready. And but I'm gonna keep charting this new territory. About 5, 10 minutes later, a couple of cops come rolling by, and one runs up on me, or pulls up to me. And, I pull my headphones off, put my hood down so you can see who I am because, oh, no, it's just something I do because, I don't want to look super unscrupulous and shifty and shit. And, it's like, yeah, a woman was murdered, or not murdered, something, I don't even know what I said. Lady, yeah, lady was murdered. No, she, her purse was stolen. Yeah, lady was murdered. It's real cash. No. Oh, fuck. I'm sorry. I just cracked myself up. No, this cop rolls up and is like, yeah, a lady had her purse stolen. Did you hear or see anything? It's like, well, actually, about maybe 5, 10 minutes ago, I heard a scream. But, this is like a week before Halloween, or, the Sunday before Halloween, which was on, what, Wednesday? I was like, I don't know. That could have been. People go all out around here for Halloween with their decorations. I mean, all the fuck out. So, I mean, I've heard, people got CDs or, little MP3 players, whatever. They got some sort of audio device playing spooky shit outside all night. And stuff that's, infrared activated that screams. It could have been anything. So I was just like, I didn't really think anything of it. I thought maybe I should call the cops, but, whatever. So I was like, yeah, a couple minutes ago, I heard a lady scream over in that direction. And he's like, well, we're going to have the dogs out here looking for him. So unless you live off in this direction, if you could go the other way, we would appreciate that. And I was like, hey, no problem. Hope you catch him. And so I was like, fuck, man, some lady got her shit jacked and I look like a piece of shit. I was ready for the worst. Like, they're gonna, like, start questioning me and fucking patting down my balls and shit. And, nope. Apparently, the guy that did it was skinny, and I'm a big fat piece of shit, so. Was not even a suspect. So I was like, yeah, no problem. I'll head the other way. And, that was kind of shitty. Shitty for that lady, man. She was really screaming. Then I felt like a dick for not calling the cops. Maybe they could have gotten there a little bit earlier. If I did. But, man, I'm one of those people that I just prefer not to talk to cops. Just one of those dudes. So I didn't, but now I felt, like shit for not, because, yeah, that sucks. Some lady got her shit stolen. You know, ladies carry all kinds of shit in her purse, man. There could have been some sentimental shit in there that should never get replaced, you know? Who knows? So, sucks. Sucks that happened in my town. I'm not real thrilled about that. You know, I walk around Sunday night at 3 in the morning to be the only person out, you know, and fucking low-life pieces of shit fucking snatching ladies' purses. It's pretty scummy. That's a scummy thing to do, so fuck that guy, man. But, you know, what the fuck was this lady doing walking around with a purse at fucking 3 in the morning on Sunday night? You know, that's a little suspect. Who knows, man. Anyway, another project, man. I watched this documentary on Netflix called American Scary. It was about horror hosts. And for those of you too young or just, you know, the just people that don't know, back in the day, you'll probably know who this person is. Fucking Elvira. She was a horror movie host. But then she got famous for endorsing shit because, I mean, come on, who doesn't want to slap Elvira's tits with their dick? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Come on. So, she was a horror movie host. So, these shitty movies that were played, usually on, like, UHF TV stations, which, again, most of you are probably too young to remember, because I don't even remember that shit. UHF stations were mostly local programming. And back in the, might have been the late 50s or the 60s, a bunch of packages of movies were sold to these stations, like real cheap, a lot of Hammer horror films and shit like that, just real terrible B movies. And a lot of stations around the country, you know, just in, totally independent of each other, they would have a host, you know, that would talk a little shit about these movies and present them. Joe Bob Briggs. A lot of you might remember Joe Bob Briggs because he was on TNT up until the year 1999-ish, I believe. And I used to watch him with my mom every Saturday, I believe, back when he was still on the old TNT. And so I'm watching this documentary, and A Ghastly Ghoul. I've been on public access TV with A Ghastly Ghoul, and he's in this documentary on Netflix. So anybody that's interested, watch American Scary. Keep an eye out for A Ghastly Ghoul. His name's Bob. And, he's just like that. That's who he is, man. Check him out on YouTube. I'm sure there's a couple clips of him. And I don't think he's ever actually hosted a horror movie. Like, I think he did in, like, 1989 on Cable Access. When I found out about Cable Access, it was because of A Ghastly Movie Show. And he never hosted a horror movie on that shit. And you never really saw him on screen much. He would just edit, it's kind of like, almost like YouTube poop or shitty music videos, and he just edit together these weird things, and there's this one episode, me and my dude Seth Rock, the guy that made the Monocool TV theme, about 10 years ago, we decided we wanted a public access show. This is an idea that's way older than Monocool TV. So we did the whole process for that, which is a lot more involved than what it is today, actually, and you had to do three things. You go to the first class, and they give you a brief introduction. Then you have to volunteer on two shows, and then they let you go nuts. You sign up and use the studio and their equipment and whatever from there on. So we went to the first class. We did the next step, and all we had to do was volunteer on another show, and then we could have made something really retarded on public access, which, you know, in hindsight, I regret not having gone through with this. Anyway, so there's a show called Metalomania, which is actually where I first saw ICP's music videos, which got me interested. I was like, eh, this is kind of interesting. There's these fucking dreadlock clowns rapping about, you know, killing people. This is pretty fucking cool. Anyway, and the show's called Metalomania, and the guy that hosted it, his kid sat at my lunch table, I found out. And we didn't actually talk to each other. It was like a long lunch table, and he sat at one end, and me and my friend sat at the other. But think his name was Charlie, if I had to guess, but whatever, man. He does it for, yeah, fucking Charlie, whatever. So Metalomania, right? And it's hosted by this guy that just fucking loves metal, and he wears one of those gimp masks, a leather bondage mask with like the zip up eyes and mouth leather fucking shit, right? And he shows up with that in a briefcase inside a brown paper bag. He sets it down all seriously, opens it up, and takes out this paper bag and puts on this fucking mask. And then also on the show with us was A Ghastly Ghoul. He was a guest that episode, and he uses his like vampire hypnotic powers to hypnotize me and Sephrock. And I forget the rest of the bit. I had to run the camera for a while. Jeff ran the camera while I was getting hypnotized. And oh God, I would love to have that footage. That'd be really fucking cool. So we're talking to Bob after the show. He's like, what made you decide to start a public access show? Did you see some asshole that you on cable access and you thought, I can do that too? It's like, yeah, as a matter of fact, I was watching your show. And then he just looked all dejected and sad. It's like, I didn't really mean it like that mean, but yeah, I saw your show and I thought it'd be fucking cool. And so every Halloween, like, and Dr. Creep is also in this documentary, American Scary, and Dr. Creep was on Channel 22, and he hosted horror movies in the 70s, and is real active in the local area around Halloween. There's this town that, like, their main street, there's a bunch of businesses owned by the Foy family, and they run a bunch of Halloween shit. Like, there's the novelty store that sells like a bunch of candy and novelties, and a couple of like there's a bunch of aquariums in the back, and they used to have a monkey up until a couple years ago. Copo got too old and was getting too goddamn cranky with all these kids coming in to look at the monkey, and so they took Copo out of there because he's like 30 years old or some shit, and he's just getting too fucking cranky to have all these people looking at him. And then they got the costume shop, and then they got the shop across the street that does something. They got the 50s themed diner, and huge Halloween town, man. And it's one of the greatest places to be in Halloween. It kind of sucks that I didn't go this year. Chris wanted to go. My ex-girlfriend wanted to go with me because we've always gone to Fairborn when it's, you know, time to do some Halloween shit. And, you know, so I didn't go this year. I just didn't want to do that, man. I took it to its roots. You know, me and my friend obtained some pumpkins late one night and carved some jack-o'-lanterns, man, keeping it old school, raising a little modicum of hell for the Halloween, and you know, just a good time. So anyway, I'm watching. Oh God, I'm just rambling on and on. I'm sorry, guys. I know some of you like these rambly episodes, so I hope you guys enjoy it. I become obsessed with horror movie hosting for like a week, and just full on autistic, just obsessed with it. So I actually was trying to get my friend Anthony to be on the show because I think he would have been perfect for it. He's just like unintentionally hilarious and notices things no one else would notice and asks these brilliantly retarded questions that are hilarious as fuck. And I just really wanted him to be the host or co-host of this program, of the Mondo Cool Picture Show. Or no, the, yeah, maybe it was the Mondo Cool Picture Show, something like, I don't know, I'm still gonna make it. But I get Seth Rock to be in the show. So we carve up our jack-o'-lanterns that we obtained one night, and we went and got some dry ice, so we got like the fog pouring out of the jack-o'-lantern's mouth, and I got these light up things, and so you got like red and blue fog pouring out the jack-o'-lantern, and we're watching movies on my porch, and I found a website with some public domain movies, and I believe it was called The Bride of the Gorilla, or The Gorilla's Bride, or something along those lines. Something about a gorilla and a bride. And it's an hour-long movie, and it's actually a really good movie. I actually really enjoyed it. Like, I was expecting it to be really shitty, but this is a really entertaining movie. And So Seth Rock was getting ready to move to Arizona, like a week or two ago. He moved to Arizona with some chick, and from what I've stalked, I mean, found out on Facebook, she's a nice looking young lady. She likes Star Wars, And Jeff's living with her and having a good ass time, I guess. So that's cool as fuck. Anyway, before we went, we hosted this horror movie, and we like filmed it on my front porch, like fucking asshole lights on, lighting up the whole fucking neighborhood. And we'd watch the movie, and then, 15-minute mark, we'd stop, we'd talk about it for a minute, and I don't know, it wasn't as great as I thought it was just gonna naturally be without any effort. But I've got all this footage, and I've got the movie, and I need to edit it together, and I'll get that done. And but since he was moving, he had something that he was gonna donate to the program. He had a projector, and my neighbor's got this big white garage, and like there's the chain, there's like the fence in between the property, right? And his garage is like a foot and a half away from that fence, so it's like right next to my yard, and we got this big white garage. So I don't have a fence on my property, so I pull my car into the backyard. We throw this projector up on top. I got the laptop out there, got an extension cord ran out, so we got like power and shit. And we line up the projector just right, and set everything up, and we're projecting this movie big as fuck on this garage. And there's two premises. I was thinking just pull my car into the driveway and project it on my garage door. And like our garage is built into the house. Like these shitty little ranch houses, they all have the garage built into the house. Most people back when they moved in, 30 years ago and shit, converted those into extra rooms. But ours is still just a garage. And then my neighbor's got an extra garage built in his backyard. So there's a lot of houses. Like, half the houses out here have the garage built somewhere in the backyard, and then they've got the house expanded into the garage that came with the default cookie cutter house. So my idea was to pull my car up in the driveway, set the projector on top, project it on the garage in front of my car, and call it the world's smallest drive-in theater because it's only got, space for one car. But there's a street light directly across the street from my house, and it was just shining on that garage door, and I was thinking, eh, I'm not even gonna bother, fuck it, We can still call it the world's smallest drive-in theater the way we were gonna do it, just sitting in front of my car on some lawn chairs. And we get 10 minutes in, we set the movie up, we've got the projector going, it's working, everything is just so perfect. The bulb burns out 10 fucking minutes in, I shit you not. And Jeff was gonna let me keep this projector. I was so fucking excited to have a free projector, man. That's gonna be just cool as shit. And really bummed about that. So I like this is an older projector. And like this is the kind of projector you hook up, you can hook it up to composite, component, S video, and VGA. Just, so you don't think it's like a fucking 16-millimeter projector or something. and really bummed that it burns out. So like, fuck it, man. I guess we won't, have any shots of us watching the movie on the garage like we really wanted to have. And we set it up on my front porch. Now the premise is just like the original premise I had before the projector came to play is just I'm gonna be on the porch watching movies and talking about it and pissing my neighbors off, and because that's what we're just gonna end up doing, just making them scratch their heads like what the fuck are these idiots doing? Like God, I thought those dark times are over when they were just terrorizing the neighborhood doing dumb shit. So I look around on Amazon and eBay and try to find a lamp for this projector, and I already know projector lamps are fucking expensive. $500 goddamn dollars. You can buy a brand new LCD projector for like $300, so that fucking sucks, man. I was really geeked to have this fucking projector and fucking project a movie onto Captain Ron's garage, because fuck that guy. That guy sucks. His dog's always jumping across the fence and shitting in my yard, and fuck this guy. So we're gonna watch some movies on garage and hopefully piss him off. And man, so I was really bummed about that. But we filmed it, and I've got the shit sitting on my camera still. I just need to edit it all together, and I imagine I'll do that sometime, and then I'll just throw it out on probably on the RSS feed that Mondo Cool TV's on, so you can just get it on your iOS shit and throw it up on the website as a download. I'm not even gonna bother like worrying about YouTube fucking with me or not. It's public domain, so it shouldn't be a problem, but you never know. Maybe I'll use the Blip player and throw it on the website. Yeah, I don't know. And I was really excited about that project. The next movie I want to do is Night of the Living Dead, because that's also public domain. Some fucking asswipe forgot to renew it or something. They, like, fucked up with the renewal process. And that episode will probably get Anthony involved in the project. Maybe I'll film the shit on their porch, because he's got a bigger covered porch, and we're always over there being loud as fuck anyway, so maybe I'll just take the laptop and some scoop lights and my tripod and shit and fucking do the things. I would like to make this series of horror movie host things, because the other thing that I'm really just in love with is horror movies, and, you know, it's, yeah, it's true, we're only going to be doing public domain shit so that we can distribute it and whatever, but... Oh, when I get a couple episodes done, I would like to get some money and go join the public access thing and show those on cable access. I would love to do that, just to actually have a show air on TV, in air quotes. So that's mostly what I've done. Played a bunch of video games, played and beat God of War 3, I forget if I mentioned that in the last episode I did. Double Dragon Neon, after I actually put some time into it, I really started enjoying it. Hopefully it gets that online multiplayer patch sometime soon. And, man, let's see, what else have I done? Started playing Mad World. I've had that for fucking years. It's been sitting on my shelf for years. But Metal Gear Rising is getting ready to come out, so I was like, I better check out Platinum Games and see if they're up to snuff. And, goddamn it. Fucking thank you again, Freddy, for sending me those PS3 games. I started playing Bayonetta after I finished God of War 3. I started on Bayonetta, and I didn't get too far in it yet, but I'll get back into it again and finish it. But Mad World, holy shit, that's a fun-ass game. The soundtrack's really good. Like, I downloaded the soundtrack, and I've been listening to it for like a week on my iPod, and it's legitimately good. The music, like the beats and shit, fucking amazing. The lyrics, however, are all about what's happening in the game, so they're all about Jack and, you know, a bunch of terminology that you would only understand if you played the game. So if you haven't played the game, you probably wouldn't be able to enjoy the soundtrack for any lyrical reasons, which I think are very weak, but the music is so good that I really don't care, you know? It's like, the lyrics aren't that strong, but the music's really fucking good, so I'd recommend everyone check it out if you're at all interested. I was toying with the idea of getting my friend to come over and hosting a Halloween show on my porch, but I didn't have any gas, and he's a fucking bum. So, you know, I couldn't go out there and pick him up and then take him back home. Because, like, I was on fucking E, so I couldn't just, like, make 15 round trips between here and there. And he ain't got no internets at his house. If he had internets, I would have been able to just bring the laptop over and do it. But I can get the internet. You know, the Wi-Fi signal reaches my porch just fine. No, what I wanted to do is have a Halloween show and play a bunch of Halloween music. Or, you know, spooky shit for Halloween. And, but, you know, just couldn't do it, so maybe next year. Right now I'm going to play a song, and when I come back, I'll talk about the other thing that's really kind of got me bummed, and kind of why I took a little hiatus from the program. So, we're going to be listening to a Dark Lotus song, and I can't remember the title off the top of my head. But this shit cracks me up. It's about fucking dead bitches. So, oh boy, here we go. I hope you guys get some enjoyment out of it. It's a funny song, and it's a little spooky for this belated Halloweenish sort of episode. So I'll be back in a couple of minutes, and little more totally off the cuff, random, spur of the moment, Mondo Cool casting.
It was a dark, stormy night when five children of the Lotus crept into a local cemetery. Their intentions were nothing more than to smoke marijuana leaves and drink alcoholic beverages. But these five young boys were soon joined by some very unlikely company. In fact, for the children of the Lotus, this was some company they could only dream of. I'm talking about the dead. Not just any dead. I'm talking about they were joined by five ravishing, beautiful, lovely dead women who opened up to these boys and gave them their all.
Do you like the Ouija? We dance. Blood and flesh. Romance. Right here, right in front of the tomb. Beautiful, horrific, and the moon. Dead flesh. Crazy hormones. She wiped blood on the killer's sleeve. Now I ain't never been the one to pass. She might be dead, but she got a nice ass. Rotten to the bone, I like dead meat. Wearing nothing but a panty, shaking to the beat. So you like to dance, is that magic? Is that your ass or back? I'm grabbing, you're getting kind of freaky. Biting on my neck, my heart is beating fast. My underwear's wet and we dance.
To start talking about this episode, you know, I already explained why I was just sort of not feeling the podcast for a little while, just like frustrating tech issues trying to make the live co-host thing happen. I really miss those days that my fucking Skype just worked and everything was golden and it was easy and beautiful, and shit just flowed naturally, and, Yes, blah, 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 I'm getting confused, Kaj is asking me questions. The other thing that's kind of got me bummed, and I just wanted to, like, take a step back from the internet, was, Mondo Cool Monthly. I've been having a great time working on it, and, it's been interesting managing a team of, like, five or six people, or however many. Let's see, there's, Kaiser, Shintai, Mitch, occasionally Critical Failure, Justin with the covers, British Steel, and that's six, and that's everybody, I think, and then myself, of course. It's been a lot of fun. I've been enjoying it, and we started out pretty well, but, you know, we sold a couple of issues, and then we sold, like, an issue less, and then we sold an issue less, and now, pretty much, it's just Darth Talus buying issues, and, that's not enough to pay for, the hosting thing. Like, for a while, Death Adder was buying issues, and those two people buying issues was enough to cover each month's automatic billing thing, the service that we use for people to buy it and send them the PDF version. It's, yeah, so with only one person buying it, we're not making enough money to keep it going. And I felt like a dick anyway, asking everyone to put forth as much work as they did and not being able to, like, pay them, you know? And I never really discussed a lot of the numbers with anyone, but I wouldn't be surprised if everyone thought I was just, you know, pocketing this money. I know Shintai wouldn't care. He would just be like, yeah, whatever, you're a broke bitch, I don't care. Because that's Shintai. Kaiser probably, they all probably feel the same way. I don't know. Everybody on the team just would probably be cool with that. But I wouldn't. I would be really uncomfortable with that. And if we were making money, I would split it seven fucking ways. And honestly, I would put most of that fundage towards British Steel, Darvin, who puts together the PDFs and puts together the page layouts, which I think is the most time-consuming and difficult part of the project. Managing everyone and putting together the Word document and, you know, everyone gets their own screenshots. And we all use Dropbox to, you know, shuffle shit around with each other. But Justin and British Steel, I think, do the hardest jobs, making the covers in Photoshop. And Justin's been doing a tremendous job with that. And British Steel, who just out of nowhere is like, oh, by the way, I work in the fucking publishing industry and my job is to do page layouts. I will do that for your magazine. I mean, it was just magical how everything fell into place. I mean, here's the story of Mondo Cool Monthly. I got my AdSense taken away from YouTube, and for years I was just making YouTube videos trying to get those sweet fucking AdSense dollars, because that was my dream, to just, like, my honest-to-goodness dream, to just play video games, talk about them, get games for free, and then get a check for talking about those free video games. And I finally made it happen, and I was getting money. And through some bullshit, I stopped getting money from the internet. I got one check from Google, and I was about to get my second check, and they took away my fucking AdSense. And that threw me into a real nasty fucking depression, because I just, the way I saw it, man, if I kept going the way I was going, in a year, and in 2 years' time, I would be making decent money fucking around with video games. Obviously not enough to, like, live and, you know, pay a mortgage or nothing, but enough, man, just to be fucking awesome, right? And, that dream got dashed, and I got really shitty and really depressed, and, you know, it doesn't seem like much, you know, your fucking AdSense. I was making a little bit of money from the website ads, And then the YouTube just, like, really ramped that shit up. And releasing 3 videos a week, I started making some decent money every month. And I could have seen that growing if I kept putting the work into it. And I was just really building something cool as fuck. And that gets taken away. And I was pretty upset by this. And just not really feeling it. So I sort of stepped back for a month, and I kept doing the podcast because there's so many people that expect the podcast to be there every week. And I mean, it's only a handful of you. It's like 10 people that show up to the live shows. And, but, you know, it's a nice little community, man. It's a bunch of fucking weirdos on the internet that like to sit and listen to me ramble and you just bitch and moan about video games and what dumbasses are doing on the internet. And, you know, the way I've always been is just, I don't get along with normal fags, right? Just normal people. All my friends are fucking low lives and weirdos and just the fucking dregs of society. And I'm not trying to insinuate that any of you guys are that, but you're all just a little bit different. The fact that you appreciate my unintelligible screaming and bitching and moaning about video games, man, you can tell you people are just a little bit different. You're not the people that fucking gravitate towards the bland, personality-free, all-gen gamers podcasts. You got that fire in ya, you know? You're a different audience. And while you're not the mainstream audience and you're not the majority of people, you know, I wouldn't trade the friendships that I've made through YouTube. You know, I wouldn't, you know, one fucking fan of my podcast is worth more than 100,000 fucking regular normal fag listeners, you know? Like, I, you know? And most of the people that comment on my YouTube videos and write in, I talk to you a little bit, you know? And, fucking Balzac, that guy knows me better than anyone. It really spooks me out how he can tell me my whole fucking life story and knows the entire ensemble cast of my real life, friends and connections. You know, fucking Retro Kaiser, who's shooting me messages on Skype right now that I can't read because I'll get sidetracked if I click on it, who's listening right now. Great guy, you know? Critical Failure, that guy cracks me up. I don't talk to that guy enough, but he's like one of my favorite people on the internet. He's just a really interesting guy. Fucking Freddy, what a fucking saint. You've sent me all this, like, cool shit, all these Neo Geo games and PS3 games. And, you know, I feel like I should be talking to you more. You know, every now and then we comment on each other's Facebooks and shit. But I've come to realize that people that listen to podcasts, they know you so much better than you think. And, you know, the way I listen to podcasts, it feels like I know those people. So I feel a little weird, like, when people give me this cool shit, because I'm like, well, who are you? Why are you giving me this shit? Like, I know who you are, sort of, but at the same time, you've listened to hundreds of hours of audio of me telling real-life stories. The people that show up live, your British Steels, your Balzacs, your fucking Crow, Freddy, Strider, 78 Strider, hear you, Pedro, oh god, what's this guy's name? His PSN is Colomar or some shit, but he always shows up. That might be Pedro, I don't know. There's a kid, I believe Alex. You know, just all these people that come to the dude from Texas, Granger, M15 Granger, Death Adder. You fucking guys, man, you've listened to hundreds of hours of me talking, so I know you guys, like, probably feel like you know me and we're, like, fucking BFFs and shit. And the most appreciated comment I ever get for the podcast is, it just feels like a couple of guys sitting around the garage talking about video games. It's that just friendly atmosphere of the show. And I appreciate you guys. And you listen to the Mondo Cool After Hours when you show up, where I tell stories about how I'm a piece of shit lowlife. And you're not disgusted by it. And that's how I know you're not those mainstream 200,000 motherfuckers that listen to All Gen Gamers and fucking Captain 8-Bit, whatever his bullshit is. And that's, you know, man, I just fucking appreciate it. I feel the love from the community, and it's fucking awesome. And, but sadly, and I understand why, I wouldn't either. If any of you guys made a fucking digital magazine, I probably wouldn't buy it either, because I don't want to sit down on my computer and read a fucking PDF. Everyone's been coming out of the woodwork the past few months and releasing PDF magazines. Every fucking week I find out about a new one. There's this blog that I follow on WordPress, and he listens to the show, or at least used to. And he's got one now, but it's free, and then you buy the print. So asking $3 for Mondo Cool Monthly just ain't doing it. I'm thinking about implementing some subscription options to see if that can save the project. But as things are right now, the future of Mondo Cool Monthly is not looking good. And mostly, like, I wouldn't even mind just making it a free project if everyone was still interested in doing it, and just making it a free thing that we do for fun. I would be all for that, but we're losing British Steel from the team. And he's had a career change, and he's going through job training and working and, you know, getting his life set on track. So I can't ask this guy to take what free time he has and make my shitty magazine that doesn't make any fucking money. And, so I don't know. I've got all this shit going on in my head. Anyway, the whole point of Mondo Cool Monthly was, I was sitting around just devastated, reeling from the loss of my fucking AdSense, because I was living the dream. I got like $120. I got a check for like $112, and I earned that $112 by talking about the $400 worth of downloadable games that I got for free. I just made my dick so fucking hard that I got $400 worth of free downloadable games, and then on top of that, I got a check for talking about them. Oh boy, that was awesome. And then to have that dream just shit on and taken away, and my appeal with Google went nowhere, and I'm just fucking flat out banned from AdSense forever and ever. So, about a month later, I was like, fuck that. I'm going to make money on the internet, and I'm going to do it my damn self. And that's where Mondo Cool Monthly came from. And within about 3 weeks, it went from me being determined and scribbling a few things on a notebook to having everybody in the team writing shit, and we put it together. And fucking British Steel's like, oh, I can do the PDF for you because I'm just amazing and happen to have this skill set that I can bring. And just it was just falling into place. And we went from idea to first issue on sale in 3 fucking weeks. And Justin was doing the covers, and we had people writing shit, and it was just fucking awesome. And we came out of the gate strong, and we sold some issues, and we got, you know, I talked everyone into leaving some nice-ass reviews for the Kindle shit, and, and everything was great. And it's just, the sales have been going slower and slower, and I'm just getting more and more disheartened. And, but I still, you know, we're finishing volume one, and once this last issue comes out, we're gonna get it printed. Or, you know, I'm going to use Lulu.com. It's one of those print-to-order websites, and it's probably going to be expensive as fuck, so I want it to be full-color and hardcover. So it's probably going to be around 260 pages, give or take. I think that's what the final page count's going to be. So it's going to be pretty sizable. It's going to be full-color. And I want the one I'm going to buy for myself, I want to be hardcover. Now, I may make a paperback color and black and white version available for anyone that's interested in buying that. But that's not going to be a money-making venture. Because I'm poor as fuck, I'm going to make the hardback one as cheap as possible to, you know, for myself to fucking buy one, because you have to buy your own shit with those self-publishing, you know, print-on-demand things. So, if anyone else wants to get it, that's fine. And, you know, we're going to have some exclusive shit in there. But Volume 2 is looking pretty iffy. Now, there's a guy... Actually, let me... I'm going to read some things that Kaiser's been saying in Skype. Yeah, Kaiser's excited about the free shit he's getting. He's been getting a lot of anime DVDs and other, you know, DVDs and shit. Let's see. Well, I appreciate that, Kaiser, that, you know, I'm not the type of person that's going to fuck over the team. I'm glad you people have faith in me, because I'm such a non-trusting motherfucker, you know, like, I wouldn't trust someone else with that. So Alex said it too, that I have a talent for getting all these people to come together and manage the team and have you guys just put together the magazine, and I think that's pretty fucking cool. That I took it as a nice little compliment. Anyway, so with British Steel leaving and us not having those beautiful PDFs, I just, you know, there's so many things I want to cover in Volume 2 that I think Volume 2 is going to be way better. It's going to have, like, even stronger content. And I really want to make Volume 2, even if it doesn't make money. I still want to make this just so that next December we can have a Volume 2 printed. Like, I really want to do that. There's a guy that I know that might be able to fill British Steel's shoes, and I'm going to talk to him, and if we can get him on the fucking team, we'll do that. But I may just either drop the price down to 99 cents, or just scrap the whole money making idea in general. I'm really fucking bummed, but I understand why nobody in the group, you know, a lot of the listeners are young and don't have money. Times are extremely shitty. Boy, I know that feel. You know, motherfuckers are more worried about eating than giving some faggot in Ohio $3 to read about his dumb fucking video game obsession. you know, I get it. And, you know, how do you promote this thing? It's one of those things where everybody's doing it, and they're doing it for cheaper, and a lot of them have, you know, I don't know, man. Just, they've already got bigger communities, and I don't know. It's kind of a failed project. With all we needed was, you know, 2 sales to keep the distribution thing going. And so I guess fuck it, man. I guess we'll just make it free. And I don't know. I don't even know what I'm going to do. I want to try the subscriptions. I'm thinking 6 issues for $10, a full year for $15. I'm thinking maybe trying that out. But then there's an X amount of subscriptions that we have to sell to keep a year's worth of the hosting thing going. And unless I just make it a freely available download. So I don't know. I kind of had a dream of making this tiny little shit business and you know, building something myself with my own goddamn hands, with my friends from the goddamn internet, this huge international project, and, I don't know, it just didn't work out. I was really hopeful, everybody else on the team was really hopeful. Fucking Retro Kaiser, talk to that guy, he acts like he's writing for fucking a legitimate publication, and, I'd be lying if I didn't tell bitches, like, you know, when I'm trying to romance some hoes, and they ask, well, what do you do? Oh, I'm 30 years old, balding, and live in my mom's house, and what money I do have, I spend on video games. No, I'm like, oh, hell yeah, I'm an independent writer. And, you know, technically, for a few months, the magazine was profitable, and we were doing so well that I bought Action Max game with the first $10 that we made, and was going to put that into the magazine, and I kind of ran that by everyone, at least by Kaiser. Like, do you think that's shitty if I do that? And ran it by a couple of people, and so I bought this Action Max game that I was eventually going to talk about in the magazine. And so we were profitable for the first few months, but here we are, like, what, 7 months later, and just Darth Talus, man. You're a total fucking bro. I appreciate that. And Demez. Demez was a big supporter, too. He gave, when I first announced it, he's like, here's $10. Give me $10 worth. And I've given him every issue that's come out so far, because that shows a lot of faith on his part. That shows $10 worth of faith that I was going to make $10 worth of product for him to enjoy. And that's a big vote of confidence for me, Kaiser, Shintai, Alex, Justin, British Steel, and Kaiser. I forget if I threw you out there. The team. You know, it's just a big vote of confidence for everyone in the team that we were going to make $10 worth of content and be around that long, and I really appreciated that. Yeah, I mean, I don't plan on quitting the magazine. I just don't know if we're going to keep making it. I just don't know. If maybe I'll try dropping it, the price or the subscription thing. I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do. I'm repeating myself now. But that's kind of why I've been out of action, and just took a break from the internet and worrying about it and working on it. I mean, I've kept working on the magazine. That shit's still been coming out. But, I don't know. Cyril Lachelle, good friend, good guy. He gave me the suggestion of write press releases and give them out to any video game news website. And I probably shouldn't have said that, because all you motherfucking asswipes out there that have your own digital magazines now are going to go out and do that. But there's a few key websites that he recommended I send my press releases to, because he knows they'll run anything. So I may attempt to do that. I guess I'll attempt to be on some more podcasts and promote the show, but or promote the magazine, but I don't know, guys. Even with a handful of people buying the magazine, it would be awesome, man. I'd actually be able to pay the fucking writers. I'd be able to give them something, you know, buy them games to review, just something. One of the things that I'm proud of is that there is no advertising in Mondo Cool Monthly, and that's important to me. I've seen digital magazines that do have advertising, and with scandals that keep popping up about the integrity of gaming journalism, and there's this screenshot floating around, and I forget the reviewer's name, but he's sitting with like a fucking pyramid of Mountain Dew and Doritos talking about, I believe, Halo 4, and every gaming journalism outlet is pretty much in the publisher's pockets. What I really wanted to take Mondo Cool Monthly is to have enough money to put into the magazine. I mean, we're doing this all in our free time, with games that we have laying around, just stuff that we have that we wanted to talk about. But eventually what I wanted to do is, you know, assuming we made money, the first things I'd want to do before we even worried about, you know, paying people, was just buying the AAA games for members of the team to talk about, just to show that there's no bias. A couple months ago, I saw on Kotaku, fucking EA flew one of their writers out to Germany to test drive, like, Lamborghinis or some shit, in preparation for Need for Speed, whatever, you know, the next one is, or whatever. And, gee, I wonder if he's going to give that game a favorable fucking review, because he got flown out of the country to test drive sweet fucking cars. And that's something I wanted to do with Mondo Cool Monthly, is make sure that there is no opportunity for that bias. Yeah, I'll take your review games, and I'll talk about them, but I still tell you exactly what I think. But, you know, if it ever became an issue, I would just tell them to fuck off, you know? It hasn't happened. You know? it hasn't happened. I haven't had anything bad to say about any of the games because they've all been pretty decent. The only game that comes close is Double Dragon Neon, which I eventually started liking once I started exploring, you know, setting up and customizing your characters and your power moves and shit, and putting a little more time into it. I did start to warm me up, but in my review I still mentioned that it felt kind of slow and shitty, which you can read about in an issue of Mondo Cool Monthly, the one that just came out, but motherfuckers ain't buying that shit, so what are you gonna do? No, that's what I wanted to do, is to make enough money for us to just buy the game. And, you know, any fucking Niz America JRPG weeaboo faggot shit, just, you know, send it off to Shintai and have him play and review it and do shit like that, man. And just have it be totally funded by the readers, and that's the vision I had for it, but I don't know. It's still fun. At the end of the year, we're going to have a really cool book. Everyone on the team, every one of you listeners that's interested, you can buy that shit and put it on your shelf. You still have time. Check out the free issue and send us an email and we'll publish it, you know, like the feedback section. If you have any questions, send in some questions and we'll print that shit. This is kind of your only opportunity to get in the Volume 1 Mondo Cool Monthly, so send us an email, tell us what you think about the podcast, any of our YouTube channels. I just want to throw that out there, because I would like it if you guys were featured in it. Some of you listeners of the show know exactly who I'm talking about when I say that girl that likes Metal Gear. She's going to be publishing something in the next issue. And it's nice to get a little new blood in the magazine. If you guys want to submit something, I'm willing to work with you. If anyone wants to submit, like, a short, you know, review or an opinion piece, I can work with you. Just ask Kaiser. I'm used to editing people's shit. But that's where I've been, man. I've just been really disheartened. So, I mean, it's not a failed project. We're still going to keep doing it. Don't worry, Darth Talus, our number one fan. I'm going to do my best to make sure there's a volume two. Because there's a lot of shit I want to talk about. I've got notes covering halfway through volume two, planned features, and reviews and editorial pieces and opinion pieces and shit. Like, we've got plans for it. It's just a matter of, can we get the layout guy, this dude I know, James, who's done color work for, I believe, Marvel. Pretty sure it was Marvel. So, I mean, there's some shit there. Kaiser wants to review Asian hookers, and I support that. In the next issue, I'm also going a little more lax. I'm letting some F-bombs fly. I'm not going to let it go rampant, but I'm letting some F-bombs fly, because fuck it, man. I don't think Darth Talus is going to be offended. And I review a... in this upcoming issue, I review... What is it? It's going to be the issue after next. One's getting ready to come out. And that's already finished, and we're just waiting on the cover. But this next issue, the one we're currently working on, I review The Crease Master's Wife, which I posted a picture on the Facebook a long-ass time ago, and said I was going to review it, and I finally sat down and watched it, and oh boy, this is a good film. This is the most plot-heavy pornography I've ever seen. It's really astonishing, actually, and I recommend you find it online or find a VHS copy, because I know there's VHS copies floating around. I saw a listing on Amazon. They didn't have any, but I saw a listing on Amazon for the VHS version, and I strongly recommend watching it as a film. The porn fucking sucks. I got zero boners during this shit, because, for one, you can tell this was filmed in an era before anal bleaching, so, like, this one lady's nasty old doo-doo butt pointed at the camera was grossing me out. And, This one guy looks like Job Bluth from Arrested Development. Like during the sex scene, he's like fucking his wife after they're talking about the main character, and just this face he was making, he looked just like Job Bluth from fucking Arrested Development. Is really cracking me up. The main girl would be alright if she didn't have, you know, this is like 1993, she's got the fakest, ugliest titties I've ever seen. They're just so garbage. They're just garbage titties. And just, but there's so many funny things, like the married couple, they have a dinner party to introduce her to some dudes, and she just starts acting like a maniac and talking shit, and it's like, I bet you jerk off to disco records with your tiny dick. It's like some crazy shit at this dinner table scene. And then there's, you know, later in the film, they try hooking her up with someone else, and they're like sitting in the living room in front of this married couple, and she just starts sucking the dick, like no fucks given. And, very interesting film, man. You gotta see it. If you guys shoot me an email, maybe I'll help you see it somehow, because I might have that sitting around on my hard drive, you know what I'm saying? You know, if I know who you are and you ask nicely, I might be able to point you in the right direction to where you could also obtain a copy of this film for viewing. It's, I was actually thinking about editing out all of the porn just to watch it. It's a fucking movie. Like, you know, the majority of porn is so poorly edited. Like, there's this one scene where they flow from the elbow up the arm, to, and everything's, like, super close. I hate super close-up porn. You see this a lot in 70s, 80s, and early 90s porn, where, like, it's just, you know, all you can see is testicles and a vagina, and that doesn't do it for me, man. I need to, like, see the whole lady. You know, I need to, you know, a better shot would be, you know, the lady's head down to, like, the belly button, so you can see, like, some titties and some fucking going on, and, you know, just pan back, like, bring this camera back, don't follow up from the knee to her nasty old doo-doo anus, that just really grossed me out, and, the editing is just so choppy, man, it's just, like, so much editing. The greatest thing that ever happened to pornography is the advent of the affordable video camera and the amateur movement. Like, internet porn is so good just because it's not over edited, and they always keep decent shit in frame, and it's just way fucking sweeter. There's no just, and now here's a guy's face groaning, you know, you're like, you're getting ready to bust one out, and boom, Job Bluth. It's just groaning away while he's wailing on his wife's dirty old doo-doo anus. And, real big turnoff. So, it's, the porn's real shitty. But the movie, man, and the ending, oh my god. The epilogue in this thing, when the main character is talking about what she's moved on professionally. Whew, I was in tears. I was in fucking tears. You can read more about it in issue 7 of Mondo Cool Monthly, which will be coming out for December. Really good shit. And if you're someone I know, if you're one of those fucking family members I was talking about a little while ago, I can help you out in seeing it. I can help you obtain a copy for, you know, a legal copy that you can enjoy. I'm going to play another song, and when I come back, I'll talk about some other shit, I suppose. This is 45 Grave with one of their more popular songs, Evil. So, right after this, I'll be back and probably ramble a little more and eventually close the show.
I can't.
It looks like we've got a couple of people that have showed to the chat room, namely the Retro Kaiser and Dan. Fuck! I accidentally fucked up and didn't hit the lock to talk. I've been sitting here talking away, and I accidentally did not click lock to talk like a fucking idiot. So I'll try to rephrase what I'm saying. I see Dan joined us in the chat room because I told Kaiser to get anyone in the chat room that he could. Dan is joining us back, you know, joining the world of the internet once again. He had some computer issues for quite some time. It's nice to see that, you know, he's got his machine back up and running. He can do some interneting. If you haven't, check out Dan's Game Corner on the old YouTubes. He puts out some good content. He's posted on MondoCoolCast.com, and I believe he will be posting again in the future. Again, this is an open invitation for anyone in the Mondo community that's interested. Darth Talus, if you would like to write up something about your Japanese schoolgirl cosplay thing, picture, I will put that in the fucking magazine. If you can write a story about that or something, or an article about that, would crack me up. And that'd be fun. You know, anyone that's listened, Granger, Precision 25, Cookie Monster, Pedro, I believe there's a dude, Alejandro, that listens to the show. I can't think of his name that he uses in the chat room. But I believe Colomar is his PSN name. Or it might be Loscapita or some shit. I don't know. You guys need to fucking use consistent screen names across the internet. If you want to find me on the internet, it's fucking Jerry Terrifying. You know, that's me. That's what I do. Yeah, I got a couple troll accounts, but, you know, like, my main thing. If you know me on YouTube, you know, you can find me anywhere. It's an open invitation. Death Adder, if you want to write a short review for a horror movie, we can do that. Or a game, or some WrestleMans, I don't fucking know. Try to get that shit into me before December's over, and we'll try to get you into the Volume 1 of Mondo Cool. Write in a letter, ask a question. You know, I can work with that. Submit a picture. Shit, you know. If there's anything you can think of that you guys want to submit, man, you can be in that Mondo Cool Monthly Volume 1 collection. And I'm willing to work with anyone on that. So if you want to see yourselves printed in this book, get at me, dog. Fucking MondoCoolMedia@gmail.com. Let me know what you're thinking. I'm willing to work with anyone. Anything they want to get in there, we can do that. Let's see. Kaiser enjoys the late night atmosphere. It's 1 a.m. for him, and for me, it's 9 in the morning. Okay, here's, I guess we'll transition into a little Mondo Cool after hours. The fucking pervert that runs around the neighborhood peeping is at it again. And I had to, like, improvise a curtain, because this time of year where it's really cold but not quite freezing, I like to throw open my window and keep it, like, 50 degrees in my room so I can play PlayStation all night and not worry about my PS3 overheating and dying again. And, I don't have any curtains because I got the whole tinfoil thing, so I usually just throw open my window so you can just look right in. I was on one of my late night walks last week, and I saw a white plastic chair under a bedroom window, and it's a house that I know that has young kids, because, you know, like, where they live is a place that I walk by all the time, and I also drive that way all the time. Like, if I'm going towards a certain part of town where a bunch of shit is, I always drive this way, so, you know, you see these people out and about, and so I know they got young-ass kids, and they also don't really have any fucking curtains. They just got, like, shitty old sheets and blankets tacked up, and a lot of the windows in their house, You could just look right in if you're a fucking pervert and you grab a plastic chair and stand in the window and just fucking cum buckets all over these poor people's houses. Fucking, you know, disgusting behavior. So I actually was talking to Justin about it. It's like, yeah, when it gets sunny, I'll just drive by and aim my camera at it so that you can, like, see what's up. You know, he, like, steals people's furniture and stands under windows. And in the past couple of days since this happened, I guess one of his neighbors talked to him about it, or he figured it out on his own, whoever lives here, or lives at that house, figured it out. Because now they got, like, a big badass motion sensor installed. Which, this is also on my path where I run. This is, like, the block across the street is 3/4 of a mile, so, I run around it, and it's easy to keep track of mileage. Running around that block, plus this other block's 1.25 miles. Like, I've got, like, all these different routes, and, I know all this mileage, and these, like, that block is always incorporated in my running. And I've run past this house 1,000,000 fucking times, but since that's happened, they now have a big badass motion sensing light installed. Or they, you know, maybe they've always had it, but now they're using it. And, this fucking pervert's been running around this neighborhood for fucking ever. And I was a victim of it. I found, like, 10 years ago, I found some lawn furniture under my window back when I just had shitty, blinds in this room. Like, curtains that you could see through. Like, if the light was on, you could look straight through it. And, you know, I wouldn't be able to see. So now I've, like, tacked up a blanket. I didn't really, like, tack it up. Like, I can put it up and take it down, and, it's kind of bumming me out. But anyway, when I drove around the block to, get that video to show Justin what I was talking about, and, I was actually gonna, like, make a compilation video, and, like, maybe on one of my troll accounts go on Facebook and find people from the town I live in, and, like, you know, let them know what's up, and, you know, see if I can get some information together and try to catch this sick fucking piece of shit. And I went around that block, and as I was coming down my street, there's this house that, again, I know they have young children. Like, they've got 2 kids that are, like, you know, between 5 and 10 years old that, you know, I always drive down my street, and, I just always come home that way, so that I can park my car without having to turn around in driveways and shit. Like, it's a little bit longer driving down my street, but I always drive all the way down my street so I don't have to go on my neighbor's driveway and turn around and shit. And as I was coming around, there's another fucking chair under a window that this fucking sick piece of shit was standing on, and they got kids that are, like, 5 to 10 years old, and is, like, one of the small, is the smallest bedroom. Like, these houses are all have the exact same layout. Like, the only difference between these houses is there's 2 different roof styles, and it's, like, the only real variation. And like I said earlier in the show, some people turn the built-in garage into extra rooms. Our house actually has the garage split in half, so there's, like, a half garage and then an office that my dad does his thing in. And so I was coming around the corner, and so it's the smallest bedroom, which I'd imagine is the youngest child's bedroom, and that just really grosses me the fuck out that some pervert is looking in children's windows, man. That just really does not fucking sit right with me. And there's a lot of fucking guns in this house, and I would have absolutely no fucking problem shooting this motherfucker if I saw him peeping in my window, because he was breaking into my house. Fucking castle doctrine. A man's home is his castle. Motherfucker break into it, you got the right to shoot that motherfucker. Christ. Man, let me catch that motherfucker and let him just fucking swallow a goddamn round of buckshot. Fucking grosses me out. So I've got my fucking peace sign blanket that you know from Mondo Cool TV tacked up as sort of a temporary blind so that I can have my window and keep my room nice and cool. And, shit makes me sick, man. I'm thinking, like, it wouldn't take much, but I could, download some programs and build a motion sensing, Like, you know, use a webcam and some software to make a motion-activated camera. And then just, you know, get some video of this guy peeping in my window. And then posting that on Facebook. You know, just going around looking for people that live in this town. And, you know, have you seen this fucking sick pervert until I find out who this fucking guy is. And then just take all this fucking evidence to the police and get this motherfucker stopped and added to the fucking sex offender registry or whatever. Just like whatever the maximum fucking punishment for this piece of shit could be. And what also, you know, I spend a lot of time outside walking around late at night. You know, I see every couple of years, man, I see some furniture under a window. I'm like, oh, that motherfucker's up to it again. And I think he just must be out earlier than I am. So I usually wait till about 3 to start lurking the streets, because that's when, from my years of running at night, 3 o'clock is when no one's out. 2 o'clock, you got people coming home from bars. 4 o'clock, you got the early birds getting up and going to work and the newspaper guy. So that 3 o'clock hour, man, that's when you're not going to see no one. And, not going to see anyone. Fucking double negatives and shit. So I guess this guy's just usually out earlier. He's probably out, you know, like 1 or 2 a.m. doing his fucking thing. And I don't know what I would do if I saw this fucking guy peeping in a fucking window while I'm walking around one night. I don't know what I would do. I don't know if I would just beat his ass or yell at him and call the cops. Probably, you know, just for the sake of this being recorded, I mean, I would definitely call the cops and follow them until they, like, show up and take care of the problem. That's definitely what I would do. Shit makes me sick. Guys need to be fucking stopped, man. I mean, I'm into some perverse, kinky shit, too, but it don't involve kids, and it don't involve peeping in no fucking windows. Shit's disgusting. Anyway, I hope that motherfucker enjoys the piss moat if he ever tries to peep in the fucking window again. Sick motherfucker. Anyway, I don't even know why I started talking about that, but, man, that shit just pisses me off. And I'm surprised I haven't seen him, because I spend a lot of time outside stalking these streets like a fucking lunatic. And, yeah. Anyway, I'm going to try, if I can even remember how to put this on the internet, I'm going to go make some frozen French bread Stouffer's pizzas and drink some Pepsi, and I'm going to do a little bit of editing since I derped up when I came back after that last song. I'm going to have to edit out like 2 minutes of silence. And I'm going to try to have this posted up today, and I'll throw it up on the Facebook, and I'm going to say it, but I'm probably not going to do it. I guess I got Demez's fucking Facebook, and he followed the thing, so I'll make sure Demez sees it, because he's one of the most regular listeners who emails me all the time, but I never read that shit, because, like, sometimes I just respond to him in email. I'll just be like, yeah, this is what I think, but I never read him, because he's usually, like, drunk, and I don't want to, like, edit it before I read it on the air and shit. Good fucking guy. Love that guy. Fucking wonderful human being. Anyway, I'm gonna wrap this shit up. I just, you know, I thought about returning to the air live this Saturday, but then I woke up at, like, 11 p.m., because, like, my sleep got all fucky again. And, yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna play a couple songs, and I'm gonna leave them in. This is gonna kind of be, my Halloween tribute, I guess. It's just real short, but, you know, I'll play like 3 songs. Coming up next, we have Surf Bat from 45 Grave, followed by Killer Clowns by the Dickies. I hope you all recognize what this is from. And we'll be finishing up with another 45 Grave song. I've been listening to their album. It's really good. Sleep in Safety. I recommend you guys check that out if you enjoy these songs. But these are my favorite songs from that album, plus the Killer Clowns from the Dickies. Then we got, you know, we'll be ending this little brief thing with riboflavin, also by 45 Grave. So, thank you for tuning in, Dan and Kaiser. That's cool that someone's around since we were, like, sort of live broadcasting and shit. I'm not going to make any promises. Like, I don't know if when I'm going to be returning live, but I'm going to at least start doing some, like, non-live podcasts. I might still air them live, but I'm thinking for a while the show's going to be, like, not live, you know, like, not live, not co-host live. And I don't want to do what we were doing for the longest time where I record a thing and then, you know, yeah, fuck all that. Thinking for a while I'm just going to do what we did today. And then I'll maybe play them and show up to the chat room. Because I do like hanging out in the chat room with you fine gentlemen that show up. And occasional lady or two that have been in the chat room. Yeah, so fuck it. That's an episode. I don't even know what number episode this is. 80-something, I think. Yeah, whatever. Hope you enjoyed it. Buy some fucking Mondo Cool Monthly and cheer me up, guys. It's really got me bummed. I'm, like, really pissing me off that project didn't fail. Or that it's just, you know, sort of fizzled out. Like, it's been getting better. Each issue's been, like, way better. And, so, I mean, you know, check it out, guys. It's pretty fucking neat. Anyway, this is Surf Bat by 45 Grave. See you sometime soon.
know what I'm saying? I want me a cold steak, bitch. So bring it on, dead mama.
Girl, I'm pressing. Perkins reporting. Our top story tonight, police and investigators are still trying to figure out how and why somebody stole four dead bodies from the Wayne County morgue late Monday night. Police say the apparent body thief entered through the basement window. But how they eluded the security and alarm system is still a mystery. But what we at Channel 7 are wondering, what kind of sick fuck would steal four dead bodies anyway? Details at 11.
A dead